You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Tuesday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the racing from Southwell and Lingfield. They've got National Hunt fixtures there and we're on the Tapeter at Wolverhampton as well. You'll hear every race live from 12:05pm in the Racing Radio studio in the company of Gary Capewell, Paddy Aspel and James Millman. But ahead of all that, joining myself, Sam Norris, to look ahead to four contests on Tuesday is Mr. Ollie Pimlott. How are you, OJP?
Yeah, not too bad. So I'm slightly drier now I've got into the William Hill offices. A bit of a trek in the rain this morning, has to be said.
Yeah, it is a bit of a monsoon out there. The lighter frame gentlemen like yourself and I will blow away if we're not
careful. Yeah, it's somewhat bleak here in Leeds. Proper National Hunt weather, Sam.
Yes, it is indeed. How's your luck been lately, Ollie? Been amongst the winners?
Regular podcast listeners will know I was very sweet on Smad Place at the weekend. So obviously he's paid for a few Christmas presents, Sammy.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was the only bet of the weekend I had, anti-post, and fortunately, it was an outstanding performance from the strapping grey.
Yeah, certainly was. That'll pay for a few cigars for Pimmer Senior.
It will. I just won't mention to Pimmer Senior the return. Maybe one pack will do him, Sam, just to keep him sweet.
Yeah, a wise decision. We'll start with the Monday jury then, as we always do on Tuesday's edition of the podcast. As you can imagine, as you mentioned there, Smad Place heads the questioning. And the question is, Ollie, could he win the Gold Cup? Now, he absolutely decimated his field in the Hennessy, really put his opponents to the sword in emphatic fashion, but he'll need to improve again for the Gold Cup.
He will, because it's looking like it's going to be an absolutely vintage Gold Cup, isn't it, when you've got the likes of Cunny Gree, Vatour, Don Cossack, Don Polly and Cucard in there. I think he's got to step up again. There's no doubt he's a better horse this year. He's one of a number of horses to benefit from a operation on the epiglottis. I know Cucard has had the same wind operation. He benefited massively from having a run this year prior to it over 2.5 mile at Kempton as a pipe opener. I think that's maybe what got him beat last year. He certainly improved, Sam, but has there ever been in recently as such a stellar division in the Gold Cup? As I mentioned, likes of Cunny Gree, Vatour, Don Cossack, Don Polly and Cucard. And Cunny Gree, of course, he's going to jump out and make all, so he's going to have a jump on for who makes all in the Gold Cup. And Cunny Gree we've seen is an absolute monster. I still think he'll come up a little bit short in the Gold Cup. And I wouldn't say it was a vintage renewal of the Hennessy, given the proximity of the likes of Bobsworth and Safia Dura, who jumped well, probably didn't quite get home the ground. And Bobsworth, I think, is pretty regressive. He finished back in fifth. So he did decimate them, but I'm not sure it's one of the strongest Hennessy Gold Cups that have been run through the years.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, The way Cunny Gree attacks his fence is difficult for anyone to live with, really, isn't it?
We saw it on his debut this year at Kempton. He looked to be in second gear, and yet he had 140, 150 registered horses off the bridle after just a couple of fences. He is an absolute monster. He's going to take some pegging back.
Yeah, certainly will. Question two, then. Any other lessons we can learn from this year's Hennessy Gold Cup? Struggling to think what was in behind it, Ollie.
Well, Fingal Bay certainly ran a lot better. Obviously, he took on Smad Place at Kempton on his seasonal debut and was put well in his place again by Smad Place. But I think he looked pretty well handicapped, and he'll have in mind a big handicap off top weight perhaps for him. Probably the biggest lesson is the huge advantage to having a run in the Hennessy has. We saw it with Smad Place, I think, this year. That's a huge advantage, because I think Alan King has come out and said it absolutely bottomed him after last year. This running first time out in the Hennessy took so much out of him, but that prep run at Kempton where he didn't have a hard race, plus the advantage of having that wind operation has paid huge dividends. I think Safia Dura can be taken out of it. I think Paul Nichols was a little bit disappointed. So I think he thinks he's the real deal and very much a Gold Cup contender, but I see him coming into his own in the spring, probably at Aintree, Sam. I think the 3-mile 2 of a Cheltenham Hill Gold Cup, I think he's just maybe a little bit on the stiff side for him. I think he's definitely an Aintree horse. Of course, won there last year. I wouldn't write him off yet.
Okay. Question number three then on this week's Monday Jury. Do you fancy anything from Thistlecrack's race to win the World Hurdle? Obviously had last year's winner Cole Hardin and Whisper, who beat Cole Hardin in behind. It was a decent renewal of that long distance.
It was a decent renewal. Do I see any of these winning the World Hurdle? Probably not, I would say. Cole Hardin's had his problems. That was mentioned coming into the race. Warren Greatrex said he's had two wind operations since Cheltenham. Since Aintree in the summer. Whisper, of course, completely bombed out. Nico de Boinville reported that he lost his action. That would be worrying, Sam, given he only had the three runs last year and it was a very much a quick campaign. They really rushed him to get him to Cheltenham. So he's hard to train. He's another horse who I think will benefit for the better ground in the spring. Of course, he won the Grade 1 Stayers Hurdle at Aintree last year. I think that'll be the target now, so he might not even go for the World Hurdle. And Cole Hardin, I think he will definitely improve for that run and for the better ground. But he took everyone somewhat by surprise last year with his front-running performance. They're going to be alive to that, the jockeys, this year in a World Hurdle. Thistlecrack does look very progressive, of course. He was another winner at Aintree back in the spring. It was an impressive performance. I wasn't so sure whether he'd go on the ground. But the underperformances of the rest maybe just flattered his performance. I think he's got more chance in a World Hurdle than the two in behind him, in both Whisper and Cole Hardin. But whether he's a World Hurdle winner, I'm not so sure. And they are still muting that he could go over fences in January. So he might not even go for that race. So
okay.
I wouldn't fancy anything out of the race, if I'm honest, to win the World Hurdle.
Okay, fair enough. The next question then, could anything from the Fighting Fifth make a splash in the Champion Hurdle? Obviously won by Identity Thief over at Newcastle and had some decent horses in behind, the likes of Wicklow Brave, Top Notch, all involved in that race.
Yeah, again, I think, will a Champion Hurdle come out of this race? I'm not so sure. I think it'll be an Irish winner, no doubt, from Willie Mullins' stable. As you say, Wicklow Brave came here, went very well supported. Ruby was a little bit disappointed with his performance. He couldn't not be impressed by Identity Thief because he missed the last. Still managed to win, but the proximity of Top Notch, who only ran 7 days before, was a good juvenile, of course, last year, but he was beaten by Irving. Irving just bounced. It was third run in 3 weeks. He didn't run his race. But how close Top Notch got would be a little bit of a worry. I know Henry de Bromhead's an outstanding trainer. He's always held Identity Thief in high regard. I think he's around about 10-1 for the Champion Hurdle, but I would be looking elsewhere. I think there's still three or four a little bit better than him.
Okay, then, fair enough. That's the Fighting Fifth assessed. The next question then, the Tingle Creek this weekend could be a belter. How do you envisage it planning out? Now, we've heard this morning that Sprinter Sacra won't be going for that race, but we've still got the likes of Undersove, Vibrato Valtat, Simon Sig might go there. Still, even without Sprinter Sacra, should be a decent renewal.
Yeah, Undersove's had a little bit of a pipe opener at Thurles. Ruby gave him a school round there a couple of weeks ago, so he'll be spot on. But you've always got your heart in your mouth with Undersove, haven't you? Given his front-running way of running, and he can be very exuberant. Of course, he fell on his chasing debut at Thurles around about this time last year. And I think at the prices, Vibrato Valtat might well be the value. He won a decent renewal of the Holden Gold Cup. He's got the benefit of a run. And given the style that Undersove goes off, he could well give Vibrato Valtat something to aim at. And at the prices, Sam, I'll just be edging in his favour.
Okay, yeah, Vibrato Valtat likely to be second favourite there. We expect Undersove to be odds on 4-6 at the time recording is with William Hill for the Tingle Creek. And the final question then this week, Ollie, give us a suggestion for the Beecher and or Sefton Chase at the weekend.
I would like Santerre here.
Okay.
Second in the Grand National, of course, this year behind Many Clouds. Had a prep race at Cheltenham, should put him spot on. Devours the fences at Aintree, and I don't think the drop back to the Beecher trip will cause him any trouble. So Santerre would be quite a strong selection for the Beecher Chase at the weekend.
Okay, 14-1, I believe, is the price of Santerre for that particular race at the weekend. That concludes the Monday Jury, Ollie, but no mention of Fairy House in there, because, of course, we saw some potential superstars there. The likes of No More Heroes, Long Dog, Arctic Fire, Bacasson were all seen over Fairy House. It could be another good year for William Mullins.
It could well be. Arctic Fire, it was as if he'd lost a leg coming up to the start of the race. Went off near enough even money, which in hindsight looks an incredibly good price. He never came off the steal, but when he comes up against true Grade 1 performers, he generally comes up a little bit short, Sammy. So, he's going to go for the Champion Hurdle. Obviously, he's been placed in that in the past, but he's just not quite at the very top Arctic Fire. One who I do think is No More Heroes. He was absolutely outstanding yesterday. There was no chance Brian Cooper unlike at the Cheltenham Festival, was going to get in any trouble. He had him four wide the whole way, jumped brilliantly, absolutely bolted in. I think he's going to take a hell of a lot of beating in the RSA chase. And Long Dog, another good performance from the novice. He just doesn't jump quite good enough for me, Sam, to win a Supreme Novices Hurdle. And a well-run Supreme Novices Hurdle, you can't miss a beat. And his jumping would just be a slight worry for me in a Supreme.
Okay, fair enough. That about concludes our review of the weekend's action. Then we'll move ahead to some racing on Tuesday. We've got two National Hunt fixtures on Tuesday afternoon from both Southall and Lingfield. And we've got some Tapter action from Wolverhampton as well. We'll preview a few races from each course. We start with the 1:45 at Southall. This is a handicap hurdle over 2 miles and 7 furlongs. Who gets the shortlist in this one, Ali?
Yeah, pretty decent race this. 0 to 120. The marginal vote, I think, we'll go to last year's winning jockey, Harry Skelton. That was for his brother, Dan. But I'm going to go with Carlo Rocks here. Runs off bottom weight. Very lightly raced, this five-year-old by Carlo Bank, trained by Caroline Bailey, and was a marked improver at Southall last time under Andrew Thornton, being beaten by Polar Brook, Derek Shaw's horse, ridden by James Davies. And Polar Brook has since franked the form at the weekend at Doncaster, finishing only a neck behind Weems Wold. So tentative selection in the first race at Southall for us, the 3:45. I'd go with Carlo's Rock.
Carlo's Rock then for Ollie in that race at Southall. We move ahead to Lingfield then for the next race. This is their 1:30, a 2 mile handicap hurdle here, and a couple arriving in winning form, Ollie.
No more so than Syrup Dementh, the top weight here for Lucy Gardner and her mother Susan. This is chasing a hat trick, and this should take all the beating, Sam. Looking at it's won at Lingfield last time, where it won by 6 lengths from Rebley as a 5-4 favourite. Prior to that, it won on similar ground at Huntington. That was again in a handicap hurdle, and given the going today at Lingfield, it's going to be pretty bottomless. And I think the top horse still in this company, Tatrick Chasing, is going to take all the beating. So a strong selection would be Syrup Dementh in the 1:30 at Lingfield.
Syrup Dementh then getting the pick for Ollie. We'll stay at Lingfield for the next race then on today's podcast. This is the 2 o'clock, a 2.5 mile handicap chase for us here. How do you assess this one?
Well, I think Atlantic Rolder for Chris Gordon and Tom Cannon is going to go off a pretty short price favourite here. Has been second on his last two starts. But I thought the value perhaps would be with Nigel Twiston Davis' horse, Listen Boy. This was previously out of form, but has gone off favourite on his last three starts and has certainly been knocking at the door. His recent start was behind Count Guido Dero, where he was beaten just a couple of lengths. That was in a 10.5 grand handicap chase. Prior to that, he unseated rider behind Bertie Baru. And in the summer, he finished in front of Arctic Ben, having been well supported. Ryan Hatch is excellent value for his £3. And I thought the favourite was perhaps worth taking on here, Atlantic Roller. So I'm going to take a tentative selection on Listen Boy for Ryan Hatch and his boss, Nigel Twiston Davis.
Listen Boy then, getting the pick for Ollie in the 2 o'clock. We'll go over to Wolverhampton then for the final race on today's podcast. This is their 3:40, a handicap over 5 furlongs. It's a Class 2 event. What do you make of these sprinters, Ollie?
Probably the best race of the day here, Sam, at Wolverhampton for this nursery. Could give many of these a chance. The likely favourite is probably going to be Illegally Blonde. 3 wins from 7 runs in Great Britain this year. Arguably a career best when winning a 5-runner nursery at this course and distance 10 days ago. Did have the run of the race that day, Jamie Osborne's horse. So perhaps worth taking him on. The two to look at for me would be Sunak, the top weight, a course and distance winner. Again, a career best when winning a 5-runner nursery at Chelmsford City. That was 12 days ago by half a length from Art Collection when driven out. Cheek pieces on for the first time. Certainly looks competitive with those added cheek paces off top weight. But I think Art Collection can overturn the form with Sunak here. He last won at Windsor in October. He was a very good half a length second of 5 to Sunak in a nursery at Chelmsford 12 days ago. You'd argue that was an inadequate test of stamina. Stepping back up in trip today, George Moore's gelding by Shakespearean. I think he's going to take all the beating, provided he goes on the Tapita, which I think on pedigree he should. Stepping up in trip, a strong selection in the 3:40 at Wolverhampton would be George Moore's Art Collection for Fergus Sweeney.
Art Collection then rounding off Ollie's selections on the podcast today. Just remind us, please, one more time of your 4 picks for the action on Tuesday afternoon.
1:45 at Southall. My selection is Carlo Rocks for Caroline Bailey and Harry Skelton. The 1:30 at Lingfield, my selection is Syrup Dementh for Lucy Gardner and her mother Susan. The 2 o'clock at Lingfield, my selection is Listen Boy for Ryan Hatch and Nigel Twiston Davies. And in 3:40 at Wolverhampton, my selection is Art Collection for George Moore and Fergus Sweeney.
There we are, the thoughts of Ollie Pimlott ahead of the action on Tuesday. And remember to join us from 12:05 PM on William Hill Racing Radio with Gary Capewell, Paddy Aspel and James Millman guiding you through the cards at Southall, Lingfield and Wolverhampton on what's set to be an interesting day of action on Racing Radio. Thank you for joining me on the podcast today, Ollie, and best of luck with the selections.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.